Welcome to Practice Life, the podcast devoted to the important non-clinical issues affecting the daily practice of equine veterinary medicine. Practice Life is brought to you by the American Association of Equine Practitioners. And I'm Mike Pownall, a practice owner and veterinarian, and a longtime EAP member and your host.
Boehringer Ingelheim knows that every veterinary professional in practice has a wide variety of needs. That's why our Equine Veterinary Technical Solutions team, our VETS team, is here to provide education, product and veterinary expertise, exceptional customer care, and regulatory stewardships. Our mission is to lead our veterinary community in technical knowledge and build a long-lasting relationship with our customers. To get in contact with one of our team members, please call us at 888-637-4251.
Hi, and welcome to the AAP Practice Life podcast brought to you by our good friends at Boehringer Ingelheim. I'm Mike Pownall, and as always, joined by Jessica Dunbar. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Mike. I'm excited for our topic tonight.
This is a really exciting topic. So we're going to talk about the DEI initiatives that the AAP is coming forth with. And we have two members of the DEI committee. I want to hear all about you, and we're going to learn all about DEI. So let's start with Danera Smith. Danera, tell us about yourself. Where are you from?
Hi, I'm Danera Smith. I am from Chicago, Illinois, a little town called Evanston, like right outside of it. I grew up there and I went to vet school at University of Arizona. I just graduated August of 2023, a part of their inaugural class. And I'm currently a hospital intern at Reed & Riddle Equine Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky.
Excellent. And we are also welcomed by a past guest of the Practice Life podcast, a man who has a lot of different hats, Jeremy Shaba. Jeremy, welcome back. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Jeremy Shaba. I'm originally from Michigan. I graduated from the Ontario Veterinary College in 2015. And after that, I came down to Kentucky and I was an intern at Haggard Equine in Lexington. And I've been an associate there ever since I graduated, or ever since my internship. And I currently sit with Danera on the DEI committee.
We're glad you could both join us for this episode. So I would love to hear from both of you why you wanted to get involved with this committee. What was drawing you to be part of the DEI committee? Danera, would you like to start?
Yeah, joining this committee, I'm really glad that the AAP decided to start it. I saw from the task force that they were beginning to bring this initiative to AAP. And I was asked to join the committee. And so it was a big deal for me because you don't see many faces like mine in AAP. And just for some context, since everybody's listening, I am a Black woman among a lot of equine practitioners. So you just don't see many of us. And I want to open up this space for everybody that's interested in joining equine that may not see people that look like them.
That's wonderful. I'm really glad you're part of this committee. Jeremy, what about you?
I think one of the main goals for me and one of the reasons I wanted to be a part of it was just to make the culture and the work life better at my practice by exposing people to these new concepts and ideas. I'm hoping that by doing that and by becoming comfortable at my practice, teaching these things and being inclusive and opening people's eyes, that'll be a great platform to other practices for them to see how it can be done and what sort of change and effect it can have on your practice.
That's great. I think talking about it is the first step.
That's wonderful.
It can be challenging for people to talk about. People can be uncomfortable talking about new things and new topics that they don't know a lot about. And so one of the things that people really benefit from is just talking about it like we're doing tonight so they can learn a little bit more about it.
That's excellent. I'm glad we could be an avenue for that. Obvious question. And because DEI is for some reason, it's a loaded phrase. So let's start with definitions. What is DEI? And maybe we can pair that with what isn't DEI? So Danera, maybe we can start with you. Like, please explain to us what it is.
Yeah. So DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So diversity meaning among race, sexual orientation, our non-visible disabilities. Equity, just making the playing field equal opportunity for everybody and making it so that people who may not have access to things can join and making it a little bit easier for them. And inclusion, making people feel like they're included and welcome in a space, making a safe space for people to bring forward their concerns, or making it feel like a safe space that they can exist in.
I think there's a lot of confusion. I know just in within AAP membership, talking at the convention, talking to people, just popular media in general, there's a lot of misconceptions. So Jeremy, what isn't DEI? Like, what are some of the things that people are confused about what DEI is?
I think there might be a general misconception that DEI is only put in place to benefit minority groups. That couldn't be farther from the truth. When you have a successful DEI program at your practice, all of your employees are going to gain from that. You're going to have better employee engagement and a lower turnover rate. And so that would be kind of one thing that I think is a common misconception about it. The other thing maybe is that people think that DEI means we're hiring less qualified candidates just because we're trying to meet a quota or to make it look better on paper for all of the public to see. And that's not the goal of it either.
Well, thanks for going over or defining DEI for us. That's important. I would like to ask, what are the advantages of integrating DEI mindsets into our practices?
A practice that is forward-thinking in regard to DEI, they're going to be more inclusive. And those are the kinds of practices that young veterinarians are attracted to. The top talent is going to go to those practices. If you're in an interview or if you see an ad and the practice is talking about DEI, I feel like I would be really taken aback and surprised, and I would be really drawn to that clinic. The clinics will have a better time retaining that top talent as well as the support staff. And then on the customer side, when you have a practice that is more inclusive and more welcoming, you are going to be able to cater to different types of customers and clientele, no matter where they are coming from.
So I guess just if I may add something to that, just curious, Jeremy, anybody could put DEI into a job ad, but I guess really they have to live it.
Yeah, exactly. It's very easy to just put some stuff on paper talking about we support DEI and that. But if a clinic is telling you what they are doing, we're doing the journey for teams. We have a committee that is dedicated to increasing inclusivity in our practice. Those are tangible things that you can really appreciate in those ads.
I would love to hear more about AVMA's Journey for Teams. Can you tell us about that, either of you?
So Journey for Teams is a new program that's been piloted by the AVMA. What it is every month they come out with a new module. Each module is about 15 minutes long. And these modules are focused around the concept of DEI. There is a leader of each group, and they're called the navigator. And it's recommended that you complete these modules with your clinic staff. So depending on your clinic size, it could be everybody, or you could break off into smaller groups if that makes more sense for you guys. And the goal is to explore the concepts of DEI and just bring people closer together and start having that discussion that maybe they never would have talked about if the module hadn't happened or they hadn't gone through it together.
Our group is going to be starting that soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. Is it a year long, like monthly modules for a year? Or?
So right now they have almost 30 modules. I'm just trying to look it up. I think there's around 30 modules, and they're continually adding more. And so there's no permanent time frame. You don't have to say we're going to do it for a year or it's a 6-month program. It's at your leisure. It's what you're comfortable with, and you can keep doing it for as long as you like. But the goal is that it brings your clinic closer together and you can start talking about topics that you wouldn't have talked about before.
Great.
So tell me about the committee, the history of it, what some of the initiatives you have done to increase awareness of DEI.
It started with a task force. I was not a part of the task force, but after that, the recommendation from the task force was to create a standing committee with the AAEP. From that, the committee started, I want to say 2021, maybe 2022. And so since then, we've been able to just increase our awareness. Last year at AAEP, or this past AAEP in San Diego, we had a full half-day session, which was our biggest yet. And the year before that, we just had a smaller event. So just trying to increase awareness throughout the AAP and create sessions that people can attend, starting from the ground with education and just getting people aware of the three words of DEI and what can be done from there. And once we can get the membership more comfortable with DEI, from there we can begin our initiatives that we have planned as a committee.
That half-day session at the convention was really nice. There was multiple great presentations, so I was really glad for that. I would encourage anybody to attend those sessions at future conventions.
We had a social hour at the past convention too, which was really awesome. There must have been maybe 30 people or so that came to it, and it's just a safe space where people can feel welcomed no matter who they are, what they are, where they're from, and they know they're surrounding themselves with people who are like-minded, who think the same way they do, and who are looking to be more inclusive. And so that has grown. The first year we had it wasn't as big, and last year it had grown significantly from the year before.
That's great. I would like to ask maybe a hard question, but why do you think people push back against these DEI initiatives or talk of DEI?
I think it can make people very uncomfortable. And I think when you're used to seeing the same thing all the time and it's been working well, why would you want to change that? Or why does it need to change is the question. And what's the purpose of that? We're not keeping anybody out type of mindset. But when you think about it, candidates can come to your practice and see, how does this practice align with me? Like Jeremy said earlier, how will this work for my future? Because in my position, I'm looking for somewhere to be long-term, and a culture is a really big deal. And that's just the first thing I noticed. And so if you are uncomfortable with the concept and unfamiliarity can be scary. And so you can get a lot of pushback from that, but getting to realize that it's more beneficial in the long run can be difficult, but it will be better moving forward.
Yeah, as we talk about it more. Jeremy, do you have anything to add?
Well, I'd say there's the generational differences between the different generations of practitioners in equine veterinary medicine. I think the older generations, this is a brand new concept to them that they are really unfamiliar with. And I think change can be really hard and scary. And the younger associates are more familiar with this because this is kind of what they've been surrounded with in school for quite some time. And so bridging those gaps between those several different generations can be challenging. And one of the modules in Journey for Teams is understanding generational gaps. So that is a great way to explore that topic as well.
So as we were talking, I just thought of something to ask. So we can talk about the profession or members of the profession pushing back or resisting for whether it's generational or, as you said earlier, Jeremy, misconceptions of what it is. What is the committee doing to address the potential concerns that customers or horse owners may be pushing back against it? Because, this is a pretty homogenous culture, the horse world in North America. That's what we know. And so any thoughts or have you heard stories of how practices are addressing that?
As far as I know, the main focus of the committee so far has been on the veterinary side. I'm not sure we've talked too much about the client side and ways that we could change our approach and put out material to help veterinarians deal with their clients. This committee is still pretty new, and so we're learning as we're going and we're seeing what works and doesn't work. And I'd say that evaluating client needs and providing resources for vets to work with clients will be on our to-do list.
I think just talking about it is one way. If we are, as veterinarians, are comfortable talking about it, we can all support each other better.
From my perspective, that we have added many members over the last, since COVID, really have broadened our diversity. I have to be honest, at first we're like, what are customers going to think? Because it's all new. But we're like, these are exceptional people, exceptional veterinarians. And I can say over the last 4 years, I've heard of only one comment from a client. But you know what? That client, if you said it was a nice sunny day, they'd be saying, we wish we had rain. I mean, they would just be negative about everything no matter what. But we did have a talk with our veterinarians and our support staff and said, like, if you hear clients disparaging our new team members, you need to tell us because we're going to have a chat with that client. And that's just not acceptable. It's been great. And I could say, I know one of you said earlier about how it's going to make your practice better. 100%. Like, our practice is so much better than it was because of just the different languages and colors and members of the LGBTQ community. It's just been fantastic.
One of the things that you said, Mike, that really made me start thinking of was when I first started about how farm owners were really hesitant to have female veterinarians come to their farms. And by having the support of the practice owners and the senior veterinarians saying, you know, this is an exceptional veterinarian, we support them and you should too, that changed everything because the majority of our vets are female now. And I think that's just one, you know, gender is one part of DEI. And if you kind of apply that philosophy to all the other parts, when you have your leadership support your veterinarians and say, this person is awesome, I trust them, and you should too, it doesn't matter what they look like, where they come from, what's different about them. If you support them, then the client will feel a lot better.
That's so true.
As a side note, I was talking to somebody today, and they're like, I met a farrier. Do you know her? And I was like, if you had asked me 20 years ago, I probably could say yes. But I said, now, probably about 30 to 40% of the newer farriers in the province of Ontario are female. So I'm like, I'm happy to say I don't.
There's more than one woman farrier.
Yes, that good. Was awesome.
Yeah, the landscape is changing.
Yeah, for sure. So what more needs to be done by your committee? We touched upon a couple of things, but maybe we can talk about what the future plans are and what you would like to see change within the equine veterinary profession to be more welcoming of DEI initiatives.
Our future plans are just to, again, educate the membership and then from there, beginning pipeline organizations and getting more people from diverse backgrounds interested in the profession because we are pretty fun. Today, I was just standing in a stall with one of the patients and I was like the happiest I've been today and it was just great. And so just introducing this world of equine medicine and sharing it with people who may not otherwise have the opportunity to get interested in this profession and reaching just different people across all platforms is the ultimate goal and getting more people to join equine medicine because we are a dwindling kind. And, you know, with the initiatives of AAEP trying to prevent that from happening as well, adding in DEI initiatives will help tremendously.
And along those lines, one of the organizations we've been working a lot with is called the Ed Brown Society. And Dee has a long history with them. Do you want to just talk a little bit about what that is and how it relates to the DEI committee and what their relationship is like?
The Ed Brown Society, it is created for Black horsemen and the history of African Americans in the equine industry, starting with Ed Brown and Mr. Greg Harbutt's grandfather was the groom for Man O' War. So from there, just educating about how African Americans have been so ingrained in the thoroughbred industry specifically, but just in the equine industry. And so they have scholars that they induct every year. I was one of them during my time in vet school, and I'm considered an alumni now, but I continue to work with them and help bring in more students. There are now a lot of students that are interested on the veterinary side. Usually they try and get students out in the equine industry in general. I don't know if anybody saw, but there was a highlight on a young man named Charles Churchill by America's Best Racing, and he's working with the Stronach Group or First Racing, and he was just recently at the Pegasus Cup. So just look that up and just see they're trying to put young people of color out into the equine industry and whatever they're interested in. So there are a couple of vet students in there now, and working with them, just trying to get students interested and get them ingrained in the AAEP too.
Just exposed to what the possibilities are.
It's interesting. You bring up something, and because I know in discussions, and I've heard from a lot of young people and talking about DEI, that there is significance of somebody seeing a young African-American woman as a vet or another person of color or somebody as gay or transgender. How impactful is that really? Because that's something you hear about, but that's something I'm genuinely curious about as a representative to a community.
It's huge, in my opinion. I think seeing is believing. If you want to see yourself in a position, it helps to see somebody who's already doing that. And you can visualize yourself doing that same thing moving forward. And so just having a representation of what your future could look like can push you to keep going through that journey, because it is not an easy journey at all. Some days I have to reach out to people that I look up to. I'm like, how did you get through this situation? How did you manage these situations that you found difficult or that I'm experiencing right now? So I think that it's very important to just have somebody that you can relate to that has gone through it. And then also taking that and making it better for somebody behind you. The whole goal, at least for me, is to open the door wider for somebody coming in behind me so that they don't have to experience hardships or difficult situations or mentally taxing situations. So making it easier for more people to come through, it is my goal, at least.
You're doing it.
Well said. Yeah, well done.
She's a role model for the next generation.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Is there anything we should have talked about that we didn't? Anything we missed? Any last words on the subject?
I think I'd like to just reemphasize the AVMA Journey for Teams thing. We are really trying to push that hard. It's free. You don't need to have a login. Everything you need is on the website in clearly labeled buttons. Each module is only 15 minutes long. We are encouraging practices to make it the first 15 minutes of your all-staff meeting. If you meet together once a month, that's a great time to do it. You know, just make it a part of something that's already going on, and you'll be more likely to do it regularly. It's super easy, and we are starting it at our practice, and we are excited to get some feedback from our employees and see how it changes our culture and what sort of effect it has on our group.
It's also important to note that the AAP staff at the offices, they have started the Journey for Teams. And so with these initiatives, it does start from the top down, and the AAP staff is also doing the work, and they have had a really positive reflection on doing Journey for Teams and continuing to do that just among their offices. So if that's starting up there, it can extend down into practices across the country as well.
Excellent.
I'm really looking forward to those modules. I think it'll be great.
Thank you both. This is educational. It's important. And the two of you have been outstanding spokespeople for the DEI committee. So thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you.
Yes, absolutely. Before we sign off, just again, a special thanks to Beringer Engelheim for their support. Without it, we would not be able to offer such interesting conversations. Thank you all. For more resources to help you in daily practice, please visit the AAP's website at aaep.org.
Beringer Ingelheim knows that every veterinary professional in practice has a wide variety of needs. That's why our Equine Veterinary Technical Solutions team, our VETS team, is here to provide education, product and veterinary expertise, exceptional customer care, and regulatory stewardships. Our mission is to lead our veterinary community in technical knowledge and build a long-lasting relationship with our customers. To get in contact with one of our team members, please call us at 888-637-4251.